Here, come, follow me. And we've been discussing that for the better part of these 6 months now. But what we're going to look at today is, what does that mean? What does it mean to follow Jesus? So we have a consistent command to follow. Jesus calls his first disciples in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. It reads, now Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. In Matthew chapter 8, when some men were asking to be his disciples, Jesus simply says to them, follow me. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 21, it reads, and another of his disciples said to him, Lord, allow me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Jesus called Matthew, the tax collector, by asking Matthew to follow me. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's office, and he said to him, follow me. And he got up, and he followed him. In speaking about being his disciple, as Jesus sent his disciples out to the Jews, he states, the one who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. That should ring bells in our heads when we hear that. Jesus' conversation with the rich young ruler, or the rich young man, leads to Jesus testing him about his money and ends with the invitation, come, follow me. And then after Jesus' resurrection, he foreshadows Peter's eventual death in his service. But reminds Peter to follow me. In John chapter 21 and verse 18 and 19, it reads, truly, truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to put on your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will put on your belt on you and bring you where you do not want to go. Now, he said this indicating by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, to Peter, follow me. Over and over, Jesus told those he met in Scripture, follow me. This command is to us today as well. To be his, we must follow him. But what does it mean to follow Jesus? Let's first look at what it doesn't mean. Following Jesus does not just mean going to church, sitting in a pew, assembling with the saints and encouraging one another is commanded of us. But this is only part of following Jesus. Some who assemble are not there to follow Jesus. That's a blatant fact. There are some that attend services, and I'm not saying anyone here, but there are some people who go to church regularly who are not following Jesus. Mark 1 tells us of a man possessed by a demon who was in the synagogue. In Mark chapter 1, verse 21 through 28, they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and began to teach, and they were amazed at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, what business do you have with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. After throwing him into convulsions and crying out with a loud voice, the unclean spirit came out of him. And they were all amazed. So they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits to obey him." Immediately the news about him spread everywhere into all the surrounding region of Galilee. You see, this man was in the synagogue, just like faithful Jews. But he wasn't there to praise God, was he? He was possessed of an unclean spirit. That spirit may have been trying to get this man to sow division in that synagogue. Who knows what he was doing there? But he was there for a purpose, so that Jesus could show his power. Many people who aren't following Jesus go to church. And going to church is not the same as following Jesus. Don't get me wrong. We are commanded to assemble. But just because you come into this building and sit down does not mean you are following Jesus. Following Jesus does not mean just believing in who he is. James tells us the demons believe who he is. In James chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, you believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to acknowledge, you foolish person, that faith without works is useless? John tells us many of the rulers believed that Jesus was who he said he was too. In John chapter 12 and verses 42 and 43, nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, so that they would not be excommunicated from the synagogue. For they love the approval of people rather than the approval of God. These believed in Jesus, but they were lost, and they would not follow him. Many in our modern world believe in Jesus, but don't commit to him. They are unwilling to follow him. Just believing that Jesus was here on the earth, that he was a real man, that he did what he did, does not make you a follower of Jesus. Because there are many who absolutely do not follow Jesus that believe that he was here. Following Jesus doesn't mean you like him. This is a modern take on this idea. In this day and age of social media, we can like and follow our friends and family, our favorite writers, and all kinds of things like that. We have nearly unlimited access to each other. We can follow those who we admire and look up to. We can read their words and enjoy what they have to say. Following Jesus is not just liking him or just reading and appreciating his words. Following Jesus means more than just this. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? Let's look at our examples again. In Matthew 4 and 20, Peter and Andrew immediately left their nets and followed him. They left their livelihood. They dropped it and followed Jesus. James and John left their boat, left their father, and followed Jesus. Matthew left the tax collector's booth. You can imagine what this is like. This is a tax collector in a booth where Jews are lined up to pay tribute, and probably a Roman guard protecting him because these tax collectors are the most hated. Jesus walks by, looks in that booth, and says to him, "Follow me." He gets up and leaves his job, his profession, and follows Jesus. Leaves that behind. All of these men left things behind and followed Jesus. They left their jobs, their plans, their appointments, all kinds of things to follow Jesus. So following Jesus means we have to do things differently, and there may be some things that we need to leave behind. We cannot follow Jesus physically like these men. Jesus is no longer here in the flesh. He is not standing physically in front of us and asking us to follow him in his travels. But don't let that difference stand in the way of his message. We will have to leave our old lives behind to follow him. It means you will leave behind the life that you might have planned, centered around your wants and desires. When you follow Jesus, your life is about him, not about you anymore. No longer is the question, what do you want to do with your life? But now, what does Jesus want you to do with your life? Not what you want, it's not what you feel like doing, but what he instructs you to do. What does his word tell you is a good choice for your life? Not what you can achieve on this earth, but what you can store up in heaven. And you are leaving your old life to follow him in a new life. It also means you are leaving behind your sin. Following Jesus doesn't mean you can keep on doing what you were doing before. Only now your sins are forgiven because Jesus paid it forward for you. That's not how it works. Really following Jesus means leaving behind that old sinful life and following him in a new and holy life. You are now set apart. You are of Christ. You are following him. John 8 reminds us that there is no sin we can't leave behind. In John chapter 8 and verses 2 through 11, we're going to read this story. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began teaching them. Now the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in the act of adultery. And after placing her in the center of the courtyard, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say?" Now they were saying this to test him so that they might have grounds for accusing him, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. When they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first one to throw a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard this, they began leaving one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone and the woman where she was in the center of the courtyard. And he straightened up and he said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, don't sin anymore." Now, Jesus forgave that sin, but did he say, "Just get out of here? They're not going to condemn me"? What did he say to her? Don't sin anymore. A change in your life is required. Make the change. Jesus followers. They worked with him, spent time with him, asked him questions. He called them to minister and preach. Yes, but initially, his initial call to them was what? Follow me. He wanted them to be with him. Salvation is this, to be with him forever. That's our goal. That's what we're working for. God made us to be with him, but we all have sinned and separated ourselves from him. He wants us back. He wants us to follow him. Jesus died on the cross to redeem us back to himself. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 reads, "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all time, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the spirit." He saved us to bring us back to God so we can be with him. Jesus gave himself in order to buy us back from our sinful lives. There is no way around it. All men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There isn't a person on this earth who has walked on this earth who has not sinned. We all need the blood of Jesus. In following him, we have the privilege of salvation in the end, but we get to start being with him now, reading his word, listening to his teaching, praying to him, worshiping him, not just here, but every day in everything we do. Is God in the forefront of your mind? Are you thinking about Jesus when you're at work? When you're out and about in the public? Following him means more than just spending time with him. Matthew 10 talks a lot about what it means to follow him. So we're going to look at some of those things. In Matthew 10 and verse 32, therefore, everyone who confesses me before people, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. Following Jesus means confessing him publicly. Part of what it means to him, to be part of him, to follow him, is to publicly align with him as your Lord and Savior. Naming him as the Son of God. That means when you have the opportunity, you let people know that you're a Christian, that you're following Christ. That's part of following him. It's as if you are with him and he is next to you. People can't deny that. But he's not here on this earth anymore, so the next best thing that can happen is you make sure that people know that you're a Christian, that you are following Christ. You don't hide that. You make it known. This is what some of the rulers of the Jews were not willing to do, even though they believed that he was the Christ. They would not follow him. They were afraid the Pharisees were going to cast them out of the synagogue. We read that. You can't be a follower of Christ if you're ashamed of him or if you're afraid of what's going to happen to you. The Lord gives us opportunities throughout our lives to publicly stand for and with Jesus. And we need to take every opportunity we have to show that we're a Christian, to the public, to confess him publicly. Following Jesus means being baptized. Another part of him, of following him, is being baptized into his death, dying to that old life. That sinful life that you are putting away, that sinful life that you lived for yourself, and rising a new person, remade for us by his blood. We are putting away the sinful life and living a new life. That means putting things behind us. That means leaving things behind. In baptism, we are putting to death that old life and living a new life in Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 7, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For the one who has died is free from sin. The purpose of baptism is so that we can leave our old lives behind. It is a change. It is taking up a new life. A life that follows Christ, that puts him first. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 and the first part of 25, it reads, the disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple that he may become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. So our character is to become like him. We are to become like our master, like our teacher. We are going to be above him, but we need to strive to be like him. Our character should become like his. He gave us a list of those things that we should be striving for. Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We need to be striving for these kind of characteristics. We need to be publicly confessing Jesus and showing him in our lives. That may make us enemies of the world. That's what Jesus told us was going to happen. Our ministry is to be like his. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus gives his disciples a command to follow, which boils down to this: worship God and serve him by reaching, teaching, and caring for people. When he sent his disciples out in chapter 10, he told them what to do. But it boils down to those three things: get out there and do it, teach them, and care for them. He gave them the power to heal, to cast out unclean spirits, to make the blind see, to make the mute talk. We don't have those powers. We aren't given that kind of ability. But we do have the ability to care for our fellow people. We care for those in this assembly, but we can also do that for those around about us, to our neighbors, our friends and family. We should be making every opportunity we can to help. We are to worship God and serve him by doing these things. And we are to reflect Jesus in our attitude, our faith, our actions, and our entire lives. That's what following Jesus is about. We are to love Jesus. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37, the one who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And the one who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus should be number one on our list. There should be nothing above him. We should love him with our heart and soul. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8 details what love for Jesus should look like. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. If we are loving Jesus, people are going to see that in us. There's just no way you can ignore it. And a big part of following Jesus is loving him, just like Mary did, who was seated at the Lord's feet and listened to his words. We should be daily participating. We should be listening or reading the words that he gave us, applying those to our lives. That's part of following Jesus. So, what does it mean to follow Jesus? It means that we leave things behind. We confess him publicly. We are baptized into his death. We spend time with him. We become more like him. We do the things he did when he was here on this earth, and that we love him. That's what it means to follow him. Are you following Jesus? If you're not, do you want to start? We have the opportunity this morning for anybody who has not named the name of Christ to start that relationship with Jesus. He is calling. He is looking at you and saying, follow me. And if there's somebody here who has already named the name of Christ, but you've fallen away, you need the prayers of us here. We're happy to sit down with you, talk to you. Come to the front, talk to us after we're dismissed. Whatever that looks like, we're here to help. Won't you?